O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. We've heard the word faith bandied about in our gospel reading today and also in our reading from Habakkuk and from Timothy. And I've gone to church most of my life, and I've heard a lot about faith for decades. When I was a kid, I heard our pastor say in this little church I attended, if you have enough faith, miracles will happen. We could move mountains. We could uproot trees. Wonderful things would happen if you just had enough faith. Taking his words from the scripture, which is to miss the meaning of the scripture entirely, because that puts a terrible burden of guilt on us if we think, gee, if I had enough faith, my child would get well, or my daughter or son in the military would be okay, or different things. That's not what Jesus was talking about. I took that seriously when I was about 12 or 13, and I decided to test my faith. Well, we didn't have any mountains in Plant City, but we did have a pecan tree out in the backyard. And so I decided I was going to move that pecan tree, test my faith. So I went out there and stood about an hour, I think. And it didn't move. And so I concluded I didn't have enough faith. Well, the disciples in today's gospel reading were crying to Jesus, increase our faith. And on the surface, we don't really know why until we read what happened before. We think maybe they had some sort of free-floating anxiety, or perhaps they always ask for more faith. It was just what you did. It was part of your duty to ask for more faith. And after I read a few of the chapters before this happening, I discovered the real reason is simpler than that, but it's harder. It's harder because Jesus is asking them to do some things they didn't think they could do. For instance, if someone treats you badly 7 times in one day and says, oh, I'm sorry, then you're supposed to forgive. Now, maybe once a day, but 7 times in one day, Patty would throw me out of the house if I did that 7 times in one day. If a person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, I repent, you must forgive. No wonder the disciples were asking for increased faith. You know, these people are more like us than we realize. They were willing to do what was reasonable in their minds, even exceptional in following Jesus. They gave up their jobs, their homes, their families to travel with Jesus. But now Jesus was asking them to do something that they didn't think they could do. And when they came to this brick wall, they wanted him to wave some kind of magic wand and make everything okay, or give them some sort of superhuman powers to do what they know in their hearts they can't do. They want some blueprint, some clear instruction of 7 steps for discipleship. In short, they wanted to be transformed, but they really don't believe they can be transformed. You see, they become like us, so accustomed to seeing the world like it is, that they couldn't imagine a world as God wants it to be. can't imagine seeing the people who have wronged them as brothers and sisters instead of villains, enemy. We live in a society, I'm afraid, that's drawn the lines so clearly. Political experts tell us that our nation has become so starkly divided along ideological grounds that no one is green anymore. You're either red or you're blue. And so deep is that division that most of the time we can't even talk to one another, much less hear the piece of truth that may be coming from another person. A fellow told me one day he had a friend who was an ardent Republican. I'm not picking on Republicans now. And once he asked her, "How do you get along with your friends that are Democrats?" She said, "It's really simple. I don't have any friends that are Democrats." We think of the world as red and blue. We can't imagine that there's an identity deeper than that, beloved. Our world so readily gives us labels and we so readily accept them that we can't imagine anything else. And once we have that identity, it's hard to believe anything else. Yet Jesus says, if a person repents 7 times in a day, you're supposed to forgive them. Jesus calls us to look again at that person who has wronged us as a child of God, as one of His. You know, forgiveness is not about whitewashing the past. It's about seeing the present in a new light. It's about looking toward the future of redemption. Forgiveness insists that people are not red or blue. Instead, we all belong to the flock with Jesus Christ as a shepherd. No wonder the disciples said, "Increase our faith." Jesus was calling, he was turning their world upside down once again, asking them to see their reality in a new way. The same thing he's asking us to do today. Since they don't know how to do this, Jesus gives them an answer, but it's not the one they want to hear. He says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, which is really tiny, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say this mulberry tree be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. You see, they wanted a diagram to get from point A to point B, but they didn't get it. You see, faith isn't a game for solving our problems. Nor is it understanding why things are the way they are. You see, at the end of the day, faith isn't about answers. Faith is about the love of God working in your life. Faith is about being grasped by God so that you know in your heart and your bones that your life and the life of your brothers and sisters and God are all linked together and working together in your life. And once that happens, you see yourself and your neighbor and your world completely different. Once that happens, you know that the only thing that matters is that love. And the only reality is grace. And once that happens, you can forgive because you're a new creation. And therefore you see everyone else is a new creation. And of course we can't earn this. It's a gift, and all we have to do is open our hearts just a little bit. And God comes in and does the rest. You need faith the size of a mustard seed, And Jesus wasn't criticizing them for their lack of faith. They had faith. He's saying, you have faith. Even if it's just a little bit, it's enough. Use it. Exercise it. Put it to life in your life. The truth is, it doesn't take much. A word, a touch, a gesture to cleanse our eyes. It only takes the faith the size of a mustard seed for God to transform us. Years ago, a story came out, a novel, and it was turned into a movie called To Kill a Mockingbird. And in the movie, when the white men came at night to surround the jail where Tom, an African American, wrongly accused of a crime, was being held, they were full of hate. They were full of anger. They were not seeing Tom as a person. They were seeing him as red or blue. They were blinded by rage. And watching them was a little girl whose name was Scout. Scout was watching them, and her father said, "Go home. Run away. You don't need to be here." But she didn't. She stood there. And instead of fighting, she finds the right word that becomes a mustard seed in that story, in that situation. Scout looks at one of the men in the mob and says, "Mr. Cunningham, don't you remember me? I'm in your son's class at school. Walter, he's your boy, ain't he? We brought him home for dinner one time. Tell your boy, hey, for me." There was a long pause. And then a big man separated himself from the crowd and kneeled down and took her by the shoulders and said, "I'll tell him you said, hey, little lady." And the mob dispersed. You see, she found those words of grace. She gave the mustard seed of faith that opened a man's heart and his eyes, changed his life, and instead of seeing red or blue, he saw a world of grace. And God whispers those words to you and me every day, those words of grace and love. May we be opened enough to receive them. Let us pray. Gracious God, because we so often lose our way and become blind, open our eyes to see our brothers and sisters as truly our brothers and sisters. We pray for you to open our hearts to your life-giving grace, so that we might know more of you and become instruments of your will. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.